how you're making the enhanced the liquidated damages and all the rest of it apply to the whole 194.310.
Well, it would certainly address the problem that we've seen, but I could, you know, then it would also bring in the situation, for example, if somebody misdated documents or something that would send someone to a nursing home and all their property could be sold in the interim.
Yeah.
I mean, we hadn't even, I don't have any cases like that, but it would.
Potential is there.
How about if somebody's notarization has expired and they didn't realize it?
Where would that
be? But they're not practicing law.
Oh, yeah, but they'd be under sub one, wouldn't they?
True.
Correct. True, but.
Well, that's the same law it is now. Or you're just saying the penalty part.
The new penalties.
The other thing is, four as read, literally damages. Would not allow attorneys to be notaries. Hmm? I'm sure that's not what's intended.
No. Shall not purport to have authority to engage in the practice of law just because they have a notary seal.
Yeah, but read the first part.
It says, shall not engage in the practice of law.
Yeah, period. Shall not engage in the practice of law. And then starts off the rest of it.
See.
Good
not
point, Margie.
Whether two things are notary, because we're notaries, or we're lawyers.
Virtue of being
close.
Discuss this issue, you know, in the...
Well, read that phrase. Oh, wait, maybe it's by virtue of being a notary
right.
public.
That's right.
That's applicable to both clauses.
That was discussed.
Where is the modifying language?
The last line.
Oh, that modifies both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let the record be clear.
Let the record show.
Clear as a bell.
Well, I guess it's all right.
Okay, the chair moves that we reinsert the language in section... four of the bill, the sentence, a person awarded damages under this section may proceed against the bond required under ORS 194.050. Counsel. Well, I thought we did vote on the motion to re. My motion was to re insert Section 5, and Senator Gardner's motion was to raise it to $10,000.
Yeah, we did vote on
we
that.
We did
one.
Do that.
Okay.
We voted on that.
Okay.
Now, the House took out the language that said a person awarded damages under this subsection may proceed against the bond.
Because there was no bond.
Because, well, there was still a bond. It was only $500. I don't know why they took it out.
But
do you know that, Mr. McMurdo?
He wasn't. The reason they took it out is they just didn't want to deal with the whole bonding issue, and they felt that it didn't change existing law anyway. Just being okay. Legal.
Is there objection to that motion? We reinsert that language.
Mr. Chairman, didn't they take the first those lines out of the top of page 2 because they were eliminating the bottom of page 2?
Yes, but the language specifically dealing with the bond issue, they just wanted to leave the existing law as it was concerning the bond because it was being dealt with comprehensively in another bill.
Is there objection to my motion? If not, it's adopted. Now, does someone want to move this bill out?
I'll move it out.
Senator Gardner, wait a minute. Yes, before I accept that motion, Mr. McMurdo sent a note up earlier wanting to say something.
Just a small thing. We would recommend that the amendments to 194.050, and that is the bond increase, either, and depending on how optimistic you are on sine die, either an emergency clause or prescribe an effective date, so those amendments would first become either effective or operative November 1st, 1983. That gives us a lead time to get notice out on renewals and would correspond with the language in House Bill 2636 on the operative date of the increase in the amount of commission fees.
Yeah, I'd move November 1, 1983.
Discussion to Senator Gardner's motion, November 1, 1983. Objection? It's adopted. Senator Gardner now moves House Bill 2006 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Brown?
Aye.
Bowen?
No.
Fry?
No.
Gardner?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye. Motion carried. Are you going to have to leave pretty soon? Yeah. Which one of these is quicker, 380 or 2898?
No. What about 5010?
Okay. Do you have those files here?
I was going to explain 520, and I have a copy
okay.
of the 502.
There are a couple of glitches in bills we've sent out. Senate Bill 502, Council.
Well, this is the issue of the effective date provision. Apparently, there have been some concerns raised. There was an original. Let me pass this out so people can look at it.
This is the bill that we adopted an effective date and then
brought it back and changed it.
Senator Brown moved it back in because he wanted to make it more liberal. And we changed it, and the sponsors of the bill think that we're going to cause problems if we have that effective date, as does John Powell and others in the insurance area. So the chair would move to reconsider the motion by which Senate Bill 502 was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. This bill has not yet gone to the desk, so it's still within our reach. Discussion. Is there objection? The chair would now move that we replace the effective date that we had in the bill with the language, Section 1 of this Act applies to any claim for relief commenced after the effect. Okay, what's the language?
The language we want is the language in the original printed bill.
Right.
This was just a mock-up I did. Section 2 in there is the new one, the most current one that the committee acted on. So
right.
it would be to
okay.
reinstate the original language.
Okay.
And delete the other one.
The chair now moves that we reinstitute the original language in the bill on lines 10 and 11 and delete the new language that we previously adopted. Is there discussion? Is there objection? If there is none, it is so ordered. Chair now moves Senate Bill 502 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Please call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
No.
Fry?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Wire?
Okay, the other bill quickly. Senator Brown, you'll have to ask about it later. What's the next bill?
Okay, Senate Bill 520 is the bill that dealt with the district attorney informing the judge of restitution if it wasn't included in the pre-sentence report. The very last minute, we proposed an amendment that would deal with whether or not information about a restitution judgment could go to a jury in a civil case. In reviewing, that was sort of at the last minute, in reviewing, that is already in current law. ORS 137-109 specifically prohibits introduction in any civil action evidence that the defendant has paid or been ordered to pay restitution.
So we just got bad information from the...
I think we got bad information, and it's very, very clear in the statute, and I don't know exactly what the problem is, but it would be a redundant kind of thing to have done that in that bill, and that's why I'm raising that issue for the committee.
I'd move to reconsider it then.
Yeah. Senator, is there any objection to reconsidering the vote by which Senate Bill 399 was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
I thought it was
520.
520, excuse me, Senate Bill 520. Is there discussion? If not, is there objection? All right, then.
I move we delete that last amendment that was referred to about mentioning restitution in the presence of the jury.
Discussion. Objection. Hearing none, it's so ordered. Now Senator Hendrickson moves Senate Bill 520 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Please call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
No.
Fry?
No.
Gardner?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye. Motion carried. Did you object to that change, Senator Fry?
No, I just voted no because I couldn't remember what was in the bill specifically.
Mr. Chair? I apologize.
It's one of the bills that you suggested you'd be willing to carry it then in the work session.
Well, if I suggest it, then I still will do that.
Senator Hamby.
Well, I'd like to apologize to Senator Fry. I know he voted for the bill the last time it was on the up for work session.
I'll vote for it again then. I just like to have them in front of me when I'm voting on them. That's my opinion.
Okay. Senate Bill 3, House Bill 2898.
Wait, no.
We're not ready?
No. Are there other people here?
What?
What is
what's
this?
We're
oh, another anti-marijuana bill.
Well, let's look at 380.
Senate Bill 380.
They recriminalized possession of Wilson Wants
Counsel. We had a hearing on Senate Bill 380 that was originally proposed by the Oregon criminal defense lawyers on basically clarifying in the statutes that arrests are not authorized if somebody is, commits a violation. And Jerry Cooper had looked at that bill and felt that, similar to when this was changed within the traffic code, that there were a number of other statutes which needed to have a clarification, primarily because the word offense is used so frequently, and that currently would encompass a violation. So he, in your file, should be proposed amendments to Senate Bill 380 with Jerry Cooper's name at the top and the date June 1st, 1983. I have had this reviewed by Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. No major problems with it, as I understand. It just would clean up a number of statutes. I know Judge Bonebrake has looked at this and feels fine about it. The only thing I would draw your attention to that's new is on page 5, beginning at line 3, section 10, which deals with the issue of the peace officer who, under a change in the law, would not be able to arrest someone for a violation, but who may have a specific problem getting a person to identify themselves. And that's something that has to be dealt with somewhere in this bill. And the way that this is drafted, it would allow the officer to detain a person to reasonably, for purposes of investigation related to the offense and to get identification, but sub 3, beginning on line 9, would allow the officer to detain or, when necessary, take into custody a person only for such time as it is reasonably necessary to investigate and verify the person's identity.
Could I just ask a question about that?
Could
they, under what circumstances would that occur? This would be for a traffic offense?
This is for violations.
So any traffic violation, they stop, you've got a taillight out, you don't have your driver's license with you. They could detain you?
I believe the issue of an arrest on traffic offenses is in a totally separate, this would be like criminal type matters that do not rise to the level of a crime, like the most common of which is possession of less than an ounce of marijuana. I don't think by use of the word violation, I think that's a word of art in the criminal code and does not include traffic offenses.
I guess I'm
you might be
I thought
confusing
this was a traffic.
We had another bill, Senate Bill 714, that dealt with that issue, and that is the identification of the person who's stopped in his automobile and whether or not he has to produce a license. This is the issue of right now, under current law, a police officer can arrest somebody for a violation, even though that particular the penalty for a violation, you could never be placed in custody. There's absolutely no imprisonment penalty for it.
So this
is a totally separate issue from the traffic violation issue.
Okay, but is this allowing them then to put someone in a jail or holding them in detention for something that they're being charged with is not subject to a jail sentence?
This basically is amending current law, which allows them to put somebody in jail for a violation. They would not be allowed to arrest the person. The only time they would be allowed to detain or take them into any kind of custody would if they had to somehow be able to identify the person.
And what is the state of the law now on that?
The state of the law now is that they can say, I'll arrest you for this violation.
Okay.
No
but
matter what the situation.
Okay, but with respect to the issue about detaining someone because you don't have identification, can they do that now or is that a new, is that giving them new power?
That would be encompassed within what they currently can do. This would be limiting
okay.
in terms of...
Only for that purpose.
You're only right for that purpose alone.
I move the amendments, Mr.
Chairman. Senator Gardner moves the amendments to Senate Bill 380, dated 6-1-83, and with Jerry Cooper's name typed at the top. Is there discussion? Please call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Frye?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Myers?
Aye. Motion carried.
Move the bill to the floor, do pass.
Senator Gardner now moves Senate Bill 380 as amended to the floor of the do pass recommendation. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Frye?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye. Motion carried. House Bill 2870, Jack Keane.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jack Keane, representing the Oregon Council of Police Associations. I do apologize that Walt Van Hoosier, who is the vice chairman of the Oregon Canine Association, had a conflict today, was not able to attend the hearing on House Bill 2870. Briefly, Mr. Chairman, the bill punishes for damage to a police dog, dog guide, or a hearing dog with a Class C felony. The problem has arisen recently, primarily in the East Coast, but is now serviced in the West Coast, in Washington, and in California, with the training of police dogs, which is what I can specifically speak to. There has been, evidently, some damage and harm that have come to these dogs, which are non-aggressive. Primarily, they are dogs which look for search for lost people, missing children, etc. They're trained to search for bombs, drugs, that kind of thing.
Where's the non-aggressive part in the bill?
It's not. I don't think it's in the bill, but that's the kind of dog that the police dog refers to. But primarily, the dogs that they're speaking to now are non-aggressive.
Well, it says having no reasonable ground. What was that?
I guess
you could, if you're defending yourself against the dog, you could injure it, right?
Well, I'm looking at the House amendments. Should I be looking somewhere else?
No.
I see in the House amendments which is a police dog.
It does not define it as non-aggressive. I'm only providing that as background information. I understand what you're saying.
So if a dog jumped out of a police car and, let's see, where's the protection here if you shot one in self-defense? No right to do so, I guess so. Nor reasonable ground to believe that the person has such right. I guess that's it.
Wait, I wonder what that modifies, though. Criminal mischief with intent to damage property and having no reasonable right to believe. I don't understand what that means. Having no right to do so, no reasonable ground to believe that such person has a right.
Makes a Class C felony to kill a guide dog, a hearing dog, or a police dog.
The person has an intent to damage property.
Here it defines a police dog. Means a dog used in police work under the control of a peace officer. It's defined in ORS 161.
Does that language in the existing law, having no right and a reasonable ground to believe the person has such a right, does that mean the person has a property right in the animal? That they're destroying?
No, that's language of how you defend yourself against the charge.
Well, that's what I thought at first, but in reading it over, I'm not sure that that's what that means.
If you kill a cow under C, if you can defend yourself if you said you had a right to do so.
I think that's an element of the offense, that it has to be affirmatively.
But you have an intent to damage the property.
Intent to damage the property, you had no right nor reasonable ground to believe you had a right to do it.
In other words,
the question
that's
is,
where
do
you
we
can
want
say
to make it a Class C felony to kill or injure a police dog or a guide dog or a hearing dog?
You poke them with a stick and you do damage, it's a Class C felony, right?
If you didn't have a right to. Yeah.
On the other hand, you can poke them with a stick in this case and they have a Class C felony, but if you kill a damn thing without any legal privilege, it's just a Class B misdemeanor under the Cruelty to Animals statute. 167.815.
I thought it said here if you destroyed it.
No, it says damage.
Damage or destroy lines.
Damage or destroy.
Well, just killing it, wouldn't that be considered destroying it?
Yeah, killing it be destroying it and poking it.
Damage
it if you broke its skin or hurt it some way.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hendrickson.
Maybe could you describe more what the problem is in terms of people killing these dogs?
Well, it's... The dogs go through extensive training.
No, I can understand the dogs are very valuable, but I just mean, has there been a large incidence of people killing these dogs?
There was an incident, I believe, in Hillsboro several months ago, and there has been an incident in the state of Washington. The individuals who work with these animals are concerned that could increase as time goes on. It's a relatively new the dog. Most of the dogs are relatively new in terms of being on the, so to speak, on the job within the last couple of years, and their concern is for the as much for the future as anything else. There's fear that they've got to go through months of training, and it costs $5,000 to $7,000 per dog per animal, and they're looking for some sort of deterrent.
What about suing them for damages, for money damages?
Pardon me?
What about suing them for money damages?
That's a possibility.
Well, I keep questioning that the deterrent, I question again here the deterrent effect when I doubt very much that most people that are involved in misdemeanors and lower class felonies are even aware of the elements. In other words, somebody's not going to make a decision on whether to kick a police dog based on whether he's going to get charged for cruelty to animals and be subjected to a Class B misdemeanor or whether he's going to end up in a penitentiary, I don't think.
I'd rather see a civil penalty or a fine or something, because I can understand the investment in the animal and wanting to get their money back. I have a little trouble making it a Class C felony.
What fine does a Class B misdemeanor carry?
Class B misdemeanor?
No, but I mean, just make it a civil
thing.
Class
B misdemeanor wouldn't be probably $500.
I think...
I mean, just a civil thing.
He's talking about something different.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, I'm not... I know what you're saying.
In other words, don't make it a criminal matter. Make it a matter where they can recover a penalty, get their money back for their investment that they put in the animal.
I think you could anyway.
Mr. Chairman,
sue somebody for damaging your horse or your dog and recover the actual damages, probably punitive damages too for willful injury to the property.
Senator Brown,
the dog is under the control of the peace officer by definition. In this case, it's just not kind of wandering around.
Right.
So when you commit the damage or destruction, it's very obvious that you're working into some sort of a combined police unit.
I think that's
lost
correct.
We lost our audience.
Yeah, I think your audience.
What was the...
What did you say, Senator Brown?
I said the dog is just not kind of wandering around as an independent contractor. He's under the control of the peace officer at the top of page 2. So anyone who damages or destroys the dog knows that they're interfering with a peace officer in his official function.
If they live.
If they live. By the way, these are not the sort of attack dogs.
They
can smell marijuana.
Bombs. Look for bombs.
And they can,
security dogs.
These are kind of scientific laboratory dogs.
Yeah.
If the dog is worth $5,000 and you poked it, you'd probably do over $200 damage, and then you'd already be guilty of the existing law of committing the crime of criminal mischief in the first degree, which is if you damage or destroy the property of another in an amount exceeding $200.
Oh, yeah.
So if there was a vet bill.
Did we ever pass that torturing the animals act or not?
Yeah, we did. You mean the one about not feeding them?
Well, it includes torturing animals, so they come under bill. That.
Who's your horse?
Okay, if there are any further questions, we've got two more bills. So are there any more questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
House Bill 2079. Okay. Marcy Hertzmark.
Mr. Chair, member of the committee, members of the committee, my name is Marcy Hertzmark. I'm representing the Metropolitan Public Defenders today. I'm very happy that I can actually come in and support a bill. We have worked with the House committee on this bill, and we do support the concept of creating a new section within the burglary statutes. As they presently exist, you can only either commit an A felony type of burglary or a C, and the charging ability of the district attorney is therefore limited. And we feel that it will serve both sides of the bar and also the victim if a person is correctly charged with what they actually do, which is what this bill will do. And it will create a B felony within the burglary statutes, which basically conforms it to most of the other types of criminal laws, which have different categories for the felonies. And we do hope that you favorably look at this bill and pass it.
Is this the bill that we had in the interim judiciary
yes.
sentencing committee where we were trying to more clearly delineate between whether you committed a burglary in a situation that could be life-threatening versus one where there wasn't a
damaged right. property. Yes.
Well, I remember that from last session in the House, too, whether they were in the building or people were in the building or people weren't in the
yes,
building.
Yes, it has always been a an element that has been difficult to prove and also difficult to charge under for the district attorneys. And the interim committee indeed did look at this, and we agree with what the interim committee has done with the problem.
What is the what were the House amendments, Counsel?
The House amendments.
I have a marked up.
Yeah,
I've been trying to mark up the bills when.
Can you explain the
yeah. Basically, they took out the okay. Let me start. If you look in Section 4, the original bill provided that it would be burglary in the second degree if the building was a dwelling. And then if you went up into burglary in the first degree, there were some other elements that were added that would allow them to enhance it to a burglary 1. That was deleted in the amendments in the House, so that your burglary 2 really is only now a person commits that crime if, in effecting entry, this is on line 21, or while in a building or in an immediate flight therefrom, the person is armed with a burglar's tool as defined in 164.235. So that's the only element that's left, because then they deleted lines 22 through 24. And that would be your second-degree burglary under the House amendments.
Why did they decide to take out the distinction between being in, take out the dwelling?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Do you know, Marcy?
That was one of the elements that has caused a problem, and they felt that was adequately the danger to the victim is.
Well, it's not the same level.
It's not the same
weapon.
Levels if there was somebody in it or not.
I suppose if they just have their tools to break in.
Well, but the trouble with this is that just the tool business, we've lost the business that we were trying to do in the interim committee, counsel.
Well, I should mention one other thing. If you look at Section 1, it takes what is now Burglary 2 and reduces that crime to Burglary 3. So that's the other significant change in the bill.
They're going to call it third-degree burglary, but it's still going to be a Class C felony.
Correct. Yes, all they're doing is making a Burg 2 and calling it a Class B.
Well, that's to allow that new Class B, or the new second degree, right?
The new second degree, which basically what they're trying to get at is to be able to match what actually happens to language that was in the burglary statutes, where they're looking at trying to get at the non-residential burglaries as opposed to the residential burglaries, which are already adequately covered under first-degree burglary. And that's the distinction that they're trying to make.
But non-residential burglaries are less.
No, they're more.
More than.
Okay. Residentials are more.
Are more.
Yeah, residentials are more, that's because maybe people living.
This is just going to, this burglary 2 under the House amendments is just going to say that if you're caught running from a building, whether it's a dwelling or not, and you've got a burglary tool, it's going to be a Class B felony.
Well, it was an A before, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. If you look on line 12, you can see that the burglary...